Now we welcome all that have come tonight. We thank you indeed for being present at this opening night that will introduce our series right through until Friday. Tonight, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, in the will of God, at the same time, 8 o'clock. Do remember the meetings throughout the day in prayer, for without the power of God, the meetings, of course, will be ineffective. Now, I have a theme before me which will be recognizable in the reading, and we're going to turn for our first reading to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son or my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me or from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now that's simply an introductory reading to present the New Testament aspect of the subject, and in a moment or so we will turn to other portions. You'll have noticed that the readings give us the three occasions where the exhortation is presented in very, very simple and easily remembered words, be strong. Be strong. That is the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, again in Ephesians chapter 6, and for the third time in 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is a very simple exhortation. First of all, let us observe that it's in the imperative. That means simply this, it's a command. It is something that each believer must be and must experience. That's the sense of it in the commission of the good word of God. And then there's another little thing about it, that it is not something that I would really do, although I'm told to do it, because the word indicates that the power or the strength to which I'm exhorted is coming from a power outside of myself. So that really, the exhortation could be more correctly rendered, be strengthened. Be strengthened. The Lord is commanding us through the ministry of the apostle, but the very form of the words indicate that it is the Lord himself that does the strengthening. It is from him. It is by him we are made strong. Now, I'm not going to go into the passages, particularly Ephesians and Timothy, because I have in mind to come to them ultimately in the will of God. You will probably know that in our Old Testament, this exhortation occurs about or more than 20 times in the Word of God. Now, it's my exercise to look at some of them in these few nights of ministry, and we do trust they will prove helpful and encouraging. Let us then now turn to the first occurrence I want you to consider with me, and that is found in the book of Deuteronomy 31. The book of Deuteronomy and chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, please, and we note the occurrences in this chapter. First of all, in verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Now come to Joshua, please. The book of Joshua, which is just a few pages along, and chapter 1. And as we look at verse 6, we read, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Look at the last of the verses, verse 18 of this chapter. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, I want to read two or three more, if you will. First Samuel, and chapter 4. This is a useful illustration of the encouragement in this context. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9, and I have a very strong feeling, and I'm sure you would support it, that it could be very well this passage that Paul is quoting or referring to in 1 Corinthians 16. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been unto you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Right? Now, look please at 2 Chronicles, 2nd book of Chronicles, and we'll omit a reference at this moment, and we'll come to chapter 32. There is a lovely expression I don't want you to miss. And it's just right at the end of verse 7. And it's Hezekiah, of course, and spake comfortably. That's a lovely word. Spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I love that, and I trust it will prove a blessing to every heart. Now, we have enough work for the nights that are that will have us here, and I trust that I'll be able to cover what we have read, because there are many more occasions to be considered. I want to give a title to these seven occurrences that are directed to Joshua. Three given by Moses in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. Three given by God directly to him in Joshua chapter 1. And then the final one, ministered by the people in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Joshua. And so Joshua is told seven times to be strong. I think that's very, very interesting. Now, I'm sure that you understand the reason for this. I think you will know, I'm sure you know, that Joshua is on the verge of a mighty conquest. A mighty conquest. I love to do this when I'm working in the book of Joshua, and I did speak on this many years ago in this city, in Fairview. But it's wonderful to go back to the first mention of Joshua in your Bible. That's, of course, Exodus chapter 17. And in that chapter, that young man appears as being victorious. As a person appears in the Word of God for the first time, under the principle of the law first mentioned, it's very telling. It's very instructive. And wouldn't it have been a sad thing if in the first mention of Joshua, he was mentioned in connection with defeat? But the rather, he is seen as victorious. And when we think of the character of the enemy he faced, and its nature in the Word of God, we can say here was a young man that had victory over the flesh. Mind, that's a good way to appear in the Word of God. Victory over the flesh. Now, I haven't time to come right down the many, many beautiful mentions and incidents in his life. That brings us to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. You'll examine them later, won't you? When you come to that section, we find that Israel is rejecting the land. Rejecting the land. And we discover this, that they demand that men go and investigate the land. And we sing with the boys and girls, 10 were bad and 2 were good. We know that. Now, I firmly believe, brethren, that if Joshua had been among the 10, we would never have heard of him again. For we know from that portion, those 10 men are going to come under divine discipline. And they're going to be removed. And they were. So if Joshua had been among the 10, that was him finished. But what did he do? Man, you read it tonight before you sleep. He got before the people of God and he says, now listen, whatever you may think, and whatever a man may say, it's a goodly man. But I love to read what he said. And all he goes to assure them that in their going forth, they will know that God will bring them in. And God will do this, and God will do that, and he's encouraging them. And you'd have thought would have all said amen. You don't hear many amens in Toronto. I mean, Vancouver. I don't know what it is. But we might hear them some eventually, you know. But I'd have thought the people would have said amen. Do you know what happened? They took up stones to stone. Now my point is this, brethren, and this is what I want to stress at the very threshold of this simple audience, and it is this. If Joshua was asked at that point, Joshua, when you made that decision and that remark about the land, did you know that that was going to be the spear of your greatest exploits for God? What's he going to say? No. Didn't know that. Now there may be some younger believers here, and you may find at times the thing are just a bit, things are a bit difficult to apprehend. And you might feel that, you know, it's not worth doing this and it's not worth doing that. And you're in Joshua's shoes in Numbers 13 and 14. Because listen, I remember when I was a wee fella, and I didn't understand all that the men said from the platform. But I wrote it down. And I enjoyed it. And the more I became interested, the more I found God was opening things to me. If I had rejected it, as many of my contemporaries did, I wouldn't be on this platform today. Wouldn't. If you had asked me when I was in my early teens that I would be in a situation like this tonight, I said, no, never in my thoughts. You see how God is putting you on the map. You understand that's an Irish expression, isn't it? Putting you on the test. What's your reaction? Joshua, what's your reaction? He says, a goodly lad. Brethren, what's your reaction to the book? All the ministry's deep. I can't understand it. I'll let the others go for it. You're missing out. You're rejecting the land. See? And this is important because you register your decision with God. And that's what Joshua did. And he didn't know. You know he didn't know. That this land that he spoke about so wondrously and so courteously was going to be the region of his greatest exploits for God. I love that. Now here we are in chapter 31, and Moses says, I'm 120 years old this day, and I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Two things there. I want you to observe that leadership has its acknowledged limitations. The limitations of a leader acknowledged. Age does its own limiting work. And then attitude. And we remember the mistake that Moses made. And he's referring to it when he said, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And we remember the occasion back in Numbers 27. Just let me get back to that chapter for a moment. And I think I can hear Moses saying, if he was amongst the modern age today, well, Lord, if I'm not going any further, that's it. Why? Nothing irreverent. Because, you know, when some people hit a hard spot, that's how they walk out. Leave it. And it must have been a hard spot for Moses to be told, now listen, Moses, you're not going any further. This is it. What was his reaction? Well, Lord, I'll just leave it. I know every attention will be given to it. No. He went right back into the presence of God. And he prayed to the God of the spirits of all flesh to appoint a man that would go out and would go in, that Israel may not be a sheep having no shepherd. All I want to tell you, brethren, I think that's tremendous. If every leader would do that, it'd be a happy day. He could have said, well, Lord, I'll just leave it and that's it. Now, homework. Some are complaining too much. Here's another bit. Do you know how many times in your Bible it says no shepherd? That's the very thing Moses didn't want. Didn't want. So God says, go and appoint Joshua. That good? And here it is repeated. And he said, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But he says, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said, and the Lord shall do unto them, and so on. And here is Joshua coming into succession as a leader. The leader's appointed. It's lovely to notice then that here he is addressed. Be strong. Notice that in verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Here is Joshua with the people of God being encouraged to be strengthened by an intimate experimental consciousness of the presence of God with them. That simple? You know that? Do you experience that, dear brother, dear sister, in your own life? The consciousness of being constantly strengthened in the intimate experience of the presence of God with us in our effort. Now listen. To procure the land. You see, that's what it's about. When there is a spiritual conquest to be procured, God says, Moses says, be strong. Now, let us put ourselves in the New Testament counterpart. You think of the inheritance that God has given us. You think of the richness of that inheritance as depicted, described, and defined, for example, in the Ephesian epistle. Now, my concern for my soul and my exercise for your soul is, how are we getting on in the acquiring of the inheritance? Just as Joshua went into the land and possessed it for God and his people, as we're going to see, I'm obliged, surely, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, in the power of the Lord, to go into the land of God's providing and possess this inheritance in my own experience. Or for someone now that's just a bit beyond me. Well, that's difficult, isn't it? That's sad. Here is Joshua being told to be strong and to be strengthened by the fact that the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. So brethren, so sisters, let us get the first point of this exhortation. Being strengthened in the consciousness of the divine presence as we seek to procure this conquest. Verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. I think this is wonderful. It's almost a repeat of the previous verse. But it's not so much divine presence though that is here, but here's the divine promise reiterated. That's simple. That's not difficult on a Tuesday night. Here is Joshua being made conscious of the divine presence. Here he's been made conscious of the divine promise to be strengthened by this. Now, I want you to get this experimentally. I want you to be able to allow God to bring this into the realm of your own personal experience. And you must move for this. You must make for this. For it's a command. And here is the divine empowerment that's exhorted by Joshua. Now quickly, look at the third occasion, verse 23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Thou shalt bring them into the land. Here is God's purpose. And my dearest child of God, God has given you a spiritual inheritance. He has brought you into a tremendous resort and into tremendous resources. But the question is, are we possessing that? And you know, most complain and most choose to argue, well, that's all right for people like these preachers and these other kind of people that have some more ability than I, and we cheat ourselves out of possession of God's inheritance. Oh, I want to encourage you tonight. This is going to be the theme. It's a simple theme. Be strengthened. Come into the good of divine presence. Come into the good of the divine promise. Grasp as never before the reality of the divine purpose. Now we're in chapter 1 of Joshua, and we're going to get the three that comes directly from God himself to Joshua. And when I think of it, brethren, I don't know what you feel, and sisters too, of course. I wonder when I look at, and I wouldn't be able to remember all the references to Joshua from chapter 17 of Exodus to chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. But mind you, when I look at his record, I would have thought that here was a man just ready for the job. But I wondered to myself, why is it that just on the very threshold all this mighty challenge, he has to be told 7 times, be strong. I was wondering. And of course the parallel is not without reality. I wonder, was he a little bit timid? Mind you, I didn't think he was when I saw him the first mention in chapter 17 of Exodus. I thought he did very well. And mind you, when you see him coming down through the pages of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and when you get the last mention of his name before you come to his book, mind you, it's good. Did you notice it? Have a look at it. Verse number 9. Chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. What do you think of that? This was a Bible, and I'd be asking the man in front there many times. This occurs in the Bible. Hey? Do you know how many times it occurs in the Bible? Spirit of wisdom? Very interesting. 3 times in the New and the Old, and once in the New. See? And here's Joshua having one of those mentioned. Who? Of the spirit of wisdom. You remember, it's one of the characteristics of the Savior, the Messiah, in Isaiah 11. And here's this young man, full of the spirit of wisdom. And yet, here he is being smothered. Is that the word to use? Here he is being really enclosed in 7 strong, exhortative words. Be strong! Well, you see what I'm working at. I think he was another Timothy. I think he's the Old Testament Timothy. Now, look please at verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Enablement in view of his work. What do you mean by that? Now think of it. Thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land unto who? This people. You think of the vast responsibility that lies upon this man's shoulders. The destiny of generations in his hand. Man, he needs strength. Didn't he? How's this nation going to possess this inheritance? How are they all going to find a place in the land? Joshua's going to lead them. God says, be strong. Now, you remember what we read? Timothy? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses. Listen, the same commit thou unto a plurality of faithful men in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses. Listen, the same commit thou unto
a plurality of faithful men.
So the spiritual destiny of those faithful men lying in the hands of Timothy, who shall be able to teach others also. How vast is that? Only God knows. And Timothy, the destiny of generations is in your hand. In your hand. You feel. What of it?
How do you feel about that?
To someone, I'm only a wee fella.
Well, so I. There's a dear woman back there. She knows how I feel. I was only a wee fella when I met a man called Sidney Maxwell in the month of September, 1939. If you've got your Irish calculator with you, Stan, you'll know I was 15. God enabled a wee fella at 15 to lead that man at 20 into the land. And I'll never forget the coffins, or coffins, every time coming out. She says, Tom, it's the assembly for me. See? I didn't want it. I only used to have 15. Dad was 14 to start it. When I was 15, in the August 15, I went down to the aircraft and got a job a few days before Second World War started. And I met Sydney a few days after it started. 15. So there's no excuse, is it? Don't try to get out of it because you're, you know. See the point?
Mind you, Sidney had some powerful arguments. He was a Baptist at the time. You know what he told me? He said, my pastor's having a meeting every Monday night to prove the assembly's wrong. And I didn't tell him that I had a couple of wee books along with my Bible. I had a book by a Baptist pastor that was out to prove the assembly was wrong. From a shankle rope. But on another wee book, Hawthorne Bailey, the great godly Hawthorne Bailey, answered this boy with another wee book. And I was learning. Learning. And here I got the first opportunity to apply what I was learning. So I said, Sidney, does your pastor have questions? Oh yes, he said, there's opportunity for questions. I said, here are a few questions. All right. The next morning, how'd you get on? He said, don't happen. No, he couldn't answer. Oh, it's a great story, isn't it? You see the point, brethren. Don't try to excuse yourself out of it. The God of heaven strengthens for the occasion. You might say, well, I don't know this and I don't. Neither did I, but I was trying to learn. But you see, friend, here is this man never realizing when he said it was a good land. Now he's being reminded, the destiny of the generations lies in your hand. And as you sit in this meeting, you have no concept of what may yet come within your sphere to help others into the good of divine truth. Now you will need more of that. I think if we were doing that more, I think we would see increase. Instead of compromise, we have compromised today. But we have very little committal of the truth. And I feel that this is what's needed, isn't it? And it's not what God is saying to this man. Listen, generations to come are depending, mister, on your faithfulness. Be strong. The next verse, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That's an exhortation in view of his walk. What's the next point? Verse 8. This book. I love these passages with the book. Eh? This book. And God's putting a book into this man's hand. This book. Mind you, Moses didn't have this. Later on, he got the stones. Later on, he got the law. But now, it's a book. And it's been put into the hand of Joshua. This book. Here is education in view of his warfare. I'll be coming, if I hope we have time, to 2 Timothy 2, where Timothy's given the exhortation to be strong. What's he told? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what rightly dividing the word of truth. You have a book. You have a book. You're going to need it. You're going to have to read it, Timothy. You're going to have to grasp it, and you have to allow it to grasp you. But give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, I'm not going to say too much because that would be my message gone on Friday night. But you see the point, you see the parallel. Now, what's the next one? Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Here's God entreating him. Now, before we finish that, isn't it wonderful to think that the people of God themselves, looking at their leader and realizing his tremendous responsibility and privilege, they say to him, in the last part of this chapter, only be strong and of a good courage. Now, I don't know what the attitude of this assembly is. I don't know what the attitude of the assemblies represented in this meeting is, but I would think it would be a tremendous thing if each assembly represented and the assembly meets in this hall responded the way this company did in relation to their leader. Now, who knows what they did? Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all the saints in Woodland said this to the best assembly in the town. What? All that thou hast commanded us, we will do. That's simple. All that thou hast commanded us, we will do. Every company said that. There'd be no problems, would there? Then, And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Mind you, it's not easy to get an assembly to all in the assembly to go in the right and in the same direction. You see how they're responding? We will do. We will go. Then listen. And he said, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Everybody in the assembly said that. We will do. We will go. We will hearken. And they said, whosoever that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. They weren't going to tolerate any. They weren't going to tolerate any ground for difference. Good that that could be written over this assembly. I'm not saying it couldn't be. But you understand the rhetoric of the preacher, don't you? Wouldn't it be good if it could be said that each soul in this assembly is responding to its spiritual leadership by saying, we will do, we will go, we will hearken, and anyone that has a counter-direction, judge. Having said that, they looked at their leader and they give him encouragement in view of the way. Spiritual conquest to be procured. Be strong. Now, the next passage that I want you to think about is 2 Chronicles 35, and we've just a short time left, so look at that passage, will you? And you will refer, of course, in your opportunity to 1 Samuel 4 and 9, where I read, and you will find that that's a Philistine issue. They're communicating one with another. They're going to fight. They realize that if this warfare is going to be successful, they're going to have to be strong. Be strong. Now, it's not conquest we're at now, but it is a spiritual conflict we're in now. A spiritual conflict. When there is a spiritual conflict to be pursued, be strong. So look at that passage again and see the wisdom of the Philistines to encourage one another. Quit you like men, be strong, Paul says. I believe he's quoting from those verses. That's the only place in the Old Testament where you find them. So that's the illustration, you see. Now, here's a difficult verse. Haven't time to deal with it. 2 Chronicles 25. And there's disobedience here. And God says to them, but if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. I'm looking at verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 25. God shall make thee fall before the enemy to help and to cast down. That's a tremendous passage. That's a tremendous passage. I tell you. And here are these people being encouraged to be strong, yet it's going to come to no positive end. It's almost a sarcastic approach.
You can be strengthened if you like, but the end is defeat. Defeat. That's an interesting passage, but let us come to the positive in chapter 32. Now, you know, give me a few minutes, won't you? You know that when it comes to conflict in the Word of God, we have many pictures. And the first time that war is mentioned in your Bible is where, I hope you know, Genesis 14. All right? Genesis 14 is the first mention of war in your Bible. So, that's an amazing chapter, isn't it? For that is the chapter where Abram was able to muster his forces and equip himself to accomplish a fight that resulted in the recovery of his fallen brother, as he called him, Lot. He restored him. And if you look at that chapter, you'll find that if Galatians 6 and 1 had been written in that day, he had a qualified. He had a qualified. He that is spiritual, Abram was known as a Hebrew. I like that. Hadn't lost his character. Abram had a trained household. He could draw upon resources. Spiritual. He went forth to restore his brother. Considering thyself. For that chapter says there were slain pits. And you could have gone down if you hadn't been careful. Lest thou also be tempted. And he's coming from the victory of the king. To be tempted by a king. See? So mind you, if Galatians 6 and 1 was written in his day, he fulfilled it. There are problems with conflict. The man had a new house. Deuteronomy 20 says, he's not to go to war. I look around, it seems to me an awful lot of people have new houses. And then if a man had a new wife, don't send him to war. Why? When the pressure comes, you think of her. There's a lot of new ways too. And then, it's got a new job. Don't send them out. New habitation, a new affection, a new occupation. Ah, but here's the next problem. If he's faint-hearted, don't send him. Do you know why? If he's struck down and feared before the enemy, his brethren will get it too. Difficult to fight, brethren, I tell you. Difficult to fight for God. Gideon mustered an army of 30,000. What do you think of that, Lord? Don't think much of it. You don't? No. Ask how many are afraid. 20,000 ran for their life. Hey? God applied Deuteronomy 20 to Gideon's 30,000 and 20,000 went home. Got it? What about it now, Lord?
Still too many. What do you mean? Bring them down to the river. I'm asking you the question, brother. Anything wrong with drinking water? There's a glass here behind me. There's nothing wrong with drinking water. Legitimate? Why do you bring them to the water? It's not what they were doing. It's how they were doing it. Isn't that Deuteronomy 20? You need a house. I suppose you need a wife, but you haven't got one. And you need a job. Those are legitimate. They're not sin. But the way you hold it, and the boys that got down, you put their two hands in, says God, mark them. 9,700 got absorbed. Send them all. 300, one hand. Another hand in reserve for an emergency. Of course it was there. So maybe conflict isn't easy. Sure it's not? First Chronicles, brother. Get it down in your book there. Good to see your writing. First Chronicles 5:18-24 gives you principles of conflict. The time's away. I can't stay there. What I want to finish with is this, is power in conflict. Power in conflict. And that's why we came to chapter 32. And we listened to this man Hezekiah, and he spake comfortably unto them. I want you to think of the address he made. He spake comfortably. You know, God makes that appeal in Isaiah 40, speak comfortably unto her. Speak comfortably. You get your Strong's Concordance out if you have it. I'm not going to fall into Sidney Maxwell's repeat of things because I did it one night. Excuse me. I love the man. He says, if you're crude, you use a crudeness, remember? And he says, if you're young, you're using youngs. And he says, if you're strong, you'll use a strongs. And he says, if you have a wig, you'll use a wiggins. And dear me, I quoted that. I quoted that in a meeting in Ireland one night. And a wee man took the huff. And because he had a wig and I didn't know he had a wig. and it was terrible. But you get the point? You've got a Strong's, go home tonight and you'll see the message that word comfortably conveys. Man loves his wife. He speaks comfortably. That's what Hezekiah did. The address he made. He spoke to their hearts. Then I want you to see the appeal that he issued. He said, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Look at the assurance he imparted. And with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And what happened? Look at the aim he reached. And it says the people rested themselves upon the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Time is gone. I just want to quote three verses. The vision of the strong. Here's a young man in a battle. He's afraid. I can see him trembling. And the prophet says, Lord, open the young man's eyes. What did he say? Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that's great. Oh, my brethren, just to see that. That brings strength to the soul. Just to see that. That's 2 Kings chapter 6. Right? Now, we have quoted I haven't quoted, but I want to quote it. 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14. Here's another young man. Verse 6. And Jonathan says to his, to the young man that bore his armor, he said, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Ah, that's great, isn't it? That's great. I call that the venture of the strong. Here's another language. Lord, it is nothing to thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no strength. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go forth against this multitude. You have a big area here. There's not many people for you. I would think the most of them are against you. But there's no restraint with God. You think of the forces of evil that are arrayed against you spiritually. You think of everything within. And you know how vast the subject is. But just get the point here tonight. Here is Hezekiah, and he's surrounded, and you know the circumstances, and yet he embraced the people of God, and he says, be strong, or be strengthened in the consciousness of the all-sufficiency of God to be learning. Shall we pray? Our blessed God, we do thank thee for this time we have spent together with thy good word. We thank thee for these simple exhortations in relation to Joshua in his spiritual conquest, in relation to thy people in their spiritual conflict. They're encouraged to be strong. And each of us know our responsibilities tonight. So we pray that we might be graced by the strength that thou dost freely and graciously impart. So we look to thee for this blessing as we commend thy beloved people to thee. Watch over them their journey home. Bring them amongst us again another time tomorrow evening in thy will. Grant that each will be refreshed by thy word. This we ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now just two verses of a hymn that relates to the coming of the Lord, which we will endeavor to remind our hearts of each night. 272. The Lord himself shall come and shout the quickening word, thousands shall answer from the tomb, forever with the Lord. Verse 1 and verse 4, and we do thank you for coming, and we thank you even more so for listening and your patience in attention to the Word of God.